This segment of the Henry Rein Show is brought to you by Bite Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you.
And many have no access to banking, making payments and saving, so more fees are taken. Every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rein Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday immediately after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. It's the two-hour power financial block here on WWPR. Yeah, we got more W's than
a P
yet. Anyway, WWPR 405 starts Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew at 405. Then 505, Henry Rein Show, your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And then are we having a bonus Talking Markets?
No bonus today.
Okay.
I got to pick
so
up a little man.
Henry Rein Show.
Bless you.
I shut my mic off. They don't know I sneezed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Bless you.
Yes. Well, thank you. I bless you, too. And bless our guests. Anyway, as I was saying, an abbreviated Henry Rein Show for those of you, I'm doing extensive research at State College of Florida now to improve this show and all things that I can wiggle my way into. Anyway, we've got Andy.
That's right.
Mark and Andrew, the Andy, but I missed this. Look at how you just snap right up to attention to that microphone
right,
when you hear that music. Well, and then remotely, we have our guest for the day. He is definitely the crypto tax man. In fact, the IRS comes to him when they have a question. That's how good he is. And I'm going to tell you more about how good he is in a second. But it is Josh Sands, crypto tax man. And good afternoon, Josh.
How's it going, guys?
Good afternoon.
Doing well. And, of course, if you want to find out more about this voice on the radio that you're listening to, you go to CryptoTaxMan.us. You can also find it on Facebook the same way, Facebook.com/CryptoTaxMan. But if you're looking on Instagram or Twitter, because he permeates all levels of social media, all the acceptable ones of social media, you have to go Crypto_Tax_Man on Instagram and Twitter. But otherwise, just start at CryptoTaxMan.us and you will be in a good starting spot. So,
good afternoon, Josh.
Yes. How are you, anyway?
Good afternoon. I'm good. Good.
Yes. Well,
how you guys doing?
Another day in paradise.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
Now, exactly.
For people that listen regularly, they know Josh comes on once a month to try and keep us straight on what the latest with the IRS and taxes and cryptocurrency is. And if you really listen regularly, you know back in November. I was using his services, and we got a preliminary read on what my capital gains taxes would be for this coming tax year. And I have to say, I don't have to say it because he wouldn't say it, and I haven't told you this, but I managed to shrink my capital gains between November and the end of the year as far as crypto went. So just a little bit. But
you shrink them?
By making bad trades.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was a tough trade.
Yes.
That was a tough trading environment.
Let me help you reduce your taxes. Make bad trades.
Yeah.
That's the only advice I can give you.
Yeah. Anyway, no, it was still good. I have nothing to complain about as far as that goes. But, we get past the end of the year. What happened is I had gone to cash. By the time I was talking with Josh in November, I was in cash.
Okay.
And because I was feeling good, and there was no reason to try and trade and trim a little bit more money before the end of the year. So naturally, I went back into the market and tried to do some quick trades and add a little bit more profit before the end of the year. So that brings us today. And that was that must be
you
my guardian angel.
You got mail.
And they so last week I asked and Josh made time for me so that we could do a final run through on the software. The software is so easy, but I could screw it up. So he was good enough to make sure that I did it right. He ran the report and then made sure that it was sent to me by email that I didn't have to download it myself, which I probably could have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure I could have. Yeah, I'm trained.
Yeah.
And anyway, I got that, plugged it right into my tax return. My taxes for 2019 are done and filed. I don't think I have ever had my taxes filed by this time of the year. And I wouldn't be. I would still be, I would probably never finish my taxes if I had to do this on my own. If I didn't use the Crypto Tax Man, if I didn't use Josh Sanz and his magic software.
It goes in there and finds
us. It's not my magic software. It's Token Tax. I mean, they've made it,
It is integrated with TurboTax, probably some of the other major ones, too, I would think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Token Tax?
Yes.
I just use their software. There's many different softwares I could use, but I choose to use them just because they're pretty good.
Well, he made the right choice because it made my life so easy. So if you want your life to be easy, you've got to call Josh Sanz before it gets too late, because we're going to tell you about some things that are going on that you need to know about as far as the IRS and cryptocurrency in just a second. But one more time, this is how you get a hold of him. You go to CryptoTaxMan.us. You can find him on Facebook, Facebook.com/CryptoTaxMan. You can find him on Twitter. You can find him on Instagram, Crypto_Tax_Man. And you want me to go ahead and give the phone number out now, too, Josh?
Yeah, sure.
219-201-0541. 219-201-0541. We'll give that out to you again here before we're done. So before we get into the tax news, one of the things we sort of have to address is going to be the price action this past week since we last talked to you. But first, well, I'm going to be a little vague on these days because things seemed to happen so fast last week. I remember the one time that I remember is after the show Monday, I remember thinking we're really getting rich in Bitcoin because we touched pretty close to 10,005.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think it was yesterday, Bitcoin had regained up to 10,000, and then all of a sudden it fell 4%. Back down to, I think, about 9,500. And then earlier in the week, when I was really feeling good earlier in the week, it was, again, as I said, the most recent fall was from 10,000. The fall earlier in the week was from 10,005. And I think it went back farther than 9,500, wasn't it? How far did it go down to 9,400 or something like that?
Last week?
Well, midweek, whenever it had that flash crash.
9,280.
Yeah. So what we're looking at here is, and the most recent, less than a flash crash, the long order liquidation on BitMEX was 25 million, which is a relatively small liquidation.
Drop in the bucket.
But before that, I put it on our WhatsApp group chat.
Yeah, I saw that.
But there were two $10 million short positions placed on it, and sure enough, wasn't too long after that that coincidentally we had this drop, and those 25 million people that were $25 million that were with people on the long side got liquidated. And if you go back to the earlier flash crash, the one from the 10,500 down to the 96,9500 again. See that tail down there on that chart that I'm showing? That looks a lot farther than 9,600. That was momentarily. Anyway, that liquidated $120 million worth of long positions in 18 minutes.
Kapoof.
Yes, it's like it wasn't even there, except it really was there, and now it's in somebody else's account.
Risk of trading on margin.
Yes.
With leverage. Huge leverage.
And risk of just trading futures. Yes. So we have these two times. So we have the $25 million that was just like yesterday or the day before. We had the $120 million, which is about 5 days before. And I went back and I looked at a bit at the Bitstamp chart for when the flash crash was, actually both of them, and I with the Coinbase. I looked at both and on a one-minute chart, and it looked to me like the Bitstamp sold off about a minute before the Coinbase one, which, if you've been a long-time listener, as I said, I've postulated, hypothesized that because BitMEX, although they say they fixed it a little bit, but we looked at that, and I won't go into the details, they just made it sound like they fixed it. Bitstamp has an overly large weighting in the BitMEX index, and because they allow money to come in and out, unlike Coinbase or Kraken, the U.S. exchanges, and I think they got Huobi or, you know, somebody else that allows you to do whatever you want to do. You know, people can dump the money on Bitstamp, force the price down, or buy it up. You know, and if they've already placed their positions on BitMEX,
Coinbase or somewhere,
they rake it all in. So I'm just thinking, you know, I've been thinking for a while about this, but looking at those charts last night before preparing for the show, it looks to me like it moves on Bitstamp, and it doesn't take long for the arbitrage to kick in. And sure enough, then we have it on BitMEX. But that's just me talking.
And it wouldn't happen. You don't think somebody on BitMEX is doing this?
I think that if you have that kind of money,
like $125 million. Okay.
No, it only takes $10 million.
Oh, okay, that's all.
You put $10 million on Bitstamp or $2 million, whatever it takes. Sell, just with no limit.
Kick it into high gear.
Yeah, just let it go. Anyway, so what do you think is going to happen with the price of Bitcoin? Then we'll get into the tax stuff.
Yeah, you got another higher. You got another lower high here. I think we push lower, and I'm not talking about a big push lower, but I think 9,200 is reasonable. That's the first area level of support. But I'm looking at that 8,800 area and lower. Anything between 8,800 and 8,300, I think, is an area to buy.
Josh, without naming names or even being too specific about any of your clients, as opposed to accumulating Bitcoin and accumulating the gains that would lead you to have if you've been doing it long enough, do you have very many successful traders in the current environment?
I wouldn't call any of them day traders. Most of them, I would say, after 2017, 2018, have, I guess you could say, calmed down. They're mostly buy and hold. Some are taking some profits off the table from long-term holds. I wouldn't call any of them day traders.
Are they still accumulating, or some of them?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Most of them are.
So, because I'm pretty much getting to the point, because I always thought, this time it's going to be different. It's not just day trading, but just, because when I see it move 5%, I'm like, I'm out. I just don't know. But if you're going to be that way, you're going to get
run over.
Yeah. So I'm just going. I've got my semi greenbridgeinvesting.com advice, because I know what percentage of my investments I want to have in crypto. It's in Bitcoin, and I'm just going to hold it and let it and slowly accumulate in very small chunks. There's just too much other things that you're not dealing with people that have $10 million to gamble with.
Well, and if you're like Tim Draper, he's got a $250,000 price target on Bitcoin, so you're good to go.
Oh, what a relief. Can I get a loan on that?
Yeah, right. Mortgage the house.
Can I get a $250,000 loan on my $10,000 Bitcoin collateral?
Yeah.
Then I'd be a winner. So, let me. I'm gonna. I know you've seen the rundown, Josh. What's that? Are you hearing something?
Is that a baby?
No, it's not the baby.
Oh. Is it the dog chewing a chew toy?
No, not the dog either.
You're chewing the chew toy? All right, let me just...
Chew tobacco.
I'm just going to run through the IRS developments, and then we'll work backwards with crypto tax man Josh Sands to make sense of this all. So the IRS has not been explicit about how it would treat taxes related to cryptocurrency transactions. In fact, so much so that the U.S.-based tax law office classing associates concluded that cryptocurrency examinations and criminal tax prosecutions are likely to surge in the near future. The Form 1040 now on Schedule 1 includes a question about cryptocurrency. We've talked about that before. You're going to have to be truthful. You should be truthful and answer that. The IRS Criminal Investigation Division admitted that crypto tax enforcement would become one of its main priorities from now on. Also, last week, the U.S. Congressional Watchdog, the Government Accountability Office, got into the mix on this, and they released a report carried out as a result of a request from Republican Kevin Brady, who obviously has some knowledge of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, or his constituents do, because they got him to ask about this. And instead of asking the IRS, evidently he went to the General Accounting Office, which actually got some results. And it touches upon the IRS's current practices and public guidance related to crypto. The GAO recommended the IRS to clarify that some of the revenue agency's guidance was not authoritative or binding. However, the IRS rejected this recommendation. The GAO report reads, part of the 2019 guidance is not authoritative because it was not published in the Internal Revenue Bulletin, the IRB. IRS has stated that only guidance published in the IRB is IRS's authoritative interpretation of the law. IRS did not make clear to taxpayers that this part of the guidance is not authoritative and is subject to change. The GAO report supposes that returns from crypto trading might be underreported because the revenue agency failed to clarify what should be reported. Well, actually, they may be right about that supposition, but just because you don't understand it, I don't think you get to say, I don't want to report it. And it seems the agency is, it has invited, this is the IRS agency, has invited several cryptocurrency startups to take part in a summit scheduled for March 3rd. Going a little bit deeper in the GAO, that was one thing that they talked about, the fact that the guidance wasn't very clear. They also pointed out that the foreign account reporting requirement, specifically, it's unclear whether the foreign bank accounting reporting requirements under the Bank Secrecy Act and the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act report apply to cryptocurrencies. Indeed, even the wording is vague. The IRS and other elements of the federal government have been referring to cryptocurrency as virtual currencies, but noted by Coin Center, which is a nonprofit, mm-hmm. Jerry Brito, the term can also refer to digital money used in video games, because I don't want to be taxed on my Farmville money. So, anyway, the GAO recommended the IRS add a note saying that its 2019 frequently asked questions are not binding guidance. They also wanted guidance about the virtual currencies, as in video game currencies. And
now, wait a minute. How do you make – I'm lost there. Why would the video
game – Well, I'm almost done here.
Okay.
And they wanted – so this is the third request was that from the GAO to the IRS was to clarify the foreign bank account reports. And the IRS said on the video game currency, we will do that. We will clarify that. And they have clarified that your video game money, you don't have to report – on your tax return. On the first and third recommendations, they declined the GAO's request to be more clear. They think it's just right. And GAO, stay over there and count what we're spending money in the budget on, and you leave the IRS alone, or you got trouble on your hands. Now, that I am just hypothesizing that was an unsaid response. So, Josh, What is, and you've got some firsthand experience with the IRS, but what do you make of those three things? The general authoritativeness of the instructions and guidance, I guess we can put the virtual video game money to rest, and the foreign bank account information that's also up in the air.
The foreign bank account, I agree with that. They haven't been clear about that at all. So, I mean, if they're going to try and force any type of holdings overseas, they definitely need something.
Now, what do you mean by that? What is that exactly?
So your foreign bank account reporting, so there's two reportings. There's FBAR and FATCA, but FinCEN is the organization that's going to is basically going to put out that guidance, but they have made statements that they're not going to require FBAR.
Now, what's FBAR?
If you have over $10,000 in holdings overseas, it needs to be disclosed.
Okay.
And then same with FATCA reporting. It's just a higher level. If you're single, if it's over $50,000 on December 31st or $75,000 anytime throughout the year, it needs to be disclosed. It's not that you're paying any more tax, it's just a disclosure.
So in other words, if you've been trading on Binance or Huobi or any place outside the country, that gives you relief from that, from reporting, or you should report anyway?
For most clients, we have reported it just to kind of play it safe. Because, again, it's not like it costs you extra. You're not paying any more tax just because you're reporting it. And actually, if you're trying to leave those out from your trades, now they're using that as an excuse to leave that out of their capital gains calculation, then that's definitely going to be an issue, especially if you get audited.
So peace of mind is important.
So if you have a brokerage firm in, let's say, Belize, and it's using it to trade in that, and it's under $10,000, then you don't need to report that, and you don't need to report the capital gains?
Well, you still have to report it's your obligation to, report those capital gains, but you just don't have to file the extra paperwork.
If the money is just sitting there and you're not doing anything with it and it's under $10,000, he doesn't have to report, right?
Okay.
You just don't have to disclose it. But as for some of the other, items that we're talking about here, I mean, in my opinion, they were pretty clear about how they're going to treat crypto back in 2014, and they defined it as property, which, you can kind of go by the guidelines of securities being property as well. So that's going to be a tough one to get away with.
The beauty of the tax software for cryptocurrency that Josh uses, Token Tax, is you are allowed to designate which crypto is sold when, and it will calculate the best outcome for you. It also calculates margin interest if you have that. There's a lot more versatility and ability than just like when your broker, when you just download your 1099 from there. So I know you've had some experience because you've already had contact with the IRS and their questions about, in a generic sort of way with some of the people you deal with. I do want to just do a quick public service announcement on TurboTax. Every other year, because I get my health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, and I was so excited because everything was done with Josh and I had everything ready to go. And I electronically filed. And I was like, wait a minute, I remember the previous years with TurboTax. It asked me about my subsidy from the Affordable Care Act. And I was like, so I got online with their help desk and stuff like that. And it's actually buried like three clicks underneath.
So what do you mean by that? You have to pay,
so when
you
go
have to pay
into
a penalty anymore.
Right. It used to be just a straightforward question. Did you get your health care through the Affordable Care Act? And then it would ask you for the details on that. Instead, you get to deductions, and there's a clicker button for medical deductions. Well, I know I've taken the standard deduction, so I don't open up the medical deductions. I'm not going to get a deduction for my premium or anything. Well, I needed to look in there to find the Affordable Care Act thing, so now I got to do an amendment on that. So other than that, everything Josh Everything I left in Josh's hands was right, but everything I left in my hands was a little iffy. So, anyway, Josh, what was your experience at the IRS, and are you going to be at that March 3rd summit they're going to have? I mean, it seems like you should be there.
No, I'm not going to be there. I mean, I would think that they are going to want some of these larger companies that are providing this type of software for people like myself. Because there's going to have to be some, you know, things that align in regards to how their software pulls pricing, what reports they should be providing to clients, and just some overall guidance for the IRS. Because the recent audit that I went through with a client, I mean, they were, you know, not as knowledgeable as you would think.
I don't know anybody bigger than the crypto tax man.
No.
Mm-hmm. And let me give the phone number now, too, because we're going to come up against the time wall here, and I don't want to miss out on that. So get you ready, and we're going to give you this phone number so you can be prepared for your taxes and have peace of mind if you call Josh Sands, the crypto tax man, 219-201-0541. I'm going to say that again in a minute after I restate the website, cryptotaxman.us. Find him on Facebook.com/CryptoTaxMan. Find him on Instagram. Find him on Twitter, crypto_tax_man. And now you better have your pen or your pencil ready, because I'm going to give you the phone number one more time, 219, area code 219-201-0541, 201-0541. Okay, Josh, so tell us about your experience, and we're going to get out of here in about 5 minutes.
So I'd say the one thing that I learned during this whole process, it was basically me, my client, his CPA, and the IRS agent on this, you know, joint call, or actually it was like a screen share. The one thing that I learned is, you know, if you have a simple situation, it is very black and white. It'll be pretty simple. But if you have a little more complex situation and you have some exchanges that were shut down, there's a lot of gray area, and there's not much that the IRS is going to be able to do about some of that missing data.
Oh,
as long as you're reporting it, I don't think they're not going to be trying to, like, just, you know, try to bust you for anything that they can.
What would be an example of an exchange shutdown situation?
Cryptopia. Nobody has access to Cryptopia anymore. What was the Canadian one where the...
Poloniex?
Where the owner died with the key.
Oh.
And then also Poloniex, too. Poloniex is recently, you know, not providing service to U.S. citizens anymore. So.
And that was a widely used one in the U.S.
Yeah. And, I mean, the client I was working with, part of the reason that he was chosen, it was somewhat random, but he also done a lot of mining, so he had a lot of different mining pools they didn't have access to as well, because those had shut down. He didn't have access to the original data, but we still had data in our own records, which, you know, was completely fine for the IRS's agents, you know, kind of what he was looking for.
So those computers in the computer lab at school that are hypothetically mining Bitcoin right now are...
They're screwed.
Yeah, huh. But I would never do anything like that.
No.
Must be that guy that was sitting next to me.
So, I mean, the main thing here is if you are making, you know, a good attempt to disclose everything that you've done, you're not going to have any issues. Most likely, you're not going to get audited, too. I think it's going to be somewhat random. This IRS agent, he wasn't familiar with, you know, a lot of basic knowledge, I would say. But after a year's time of probably going through multiple audits, you know, they're probably going to, you know, eventually start getting a little more knowledgeable in the area. But they're kind of just scratching the surface right now.
See, I told Josh when we were talking about this off the air that he needs to submit a contract to the IRS as an independent contractor to help him with this stuff.
Yeah.
I think we should write to our congresspeople and...
Laverne Buchanan.
Yes.
I mean, I'm probably going to put that out there to the IRS agent that I spoke, that we, you know, had a meeting with. So,
all right.
He was, he was very open, and he knew that, you know, things aren't going to be as clean as he would hope. Crypto is kind of a crazy world, you know, especially back in 2017. And that's when we were working on.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, 2017.
Yeah.
So
So that's long
a lot
ago.
Of catching up.
So long ago. Isn't that when we met? We're on 2.5 years here at the radio
we
station.
We were in the golden age of
the
Bitcoin.
The golden age of Bitcoin, which is like a poof.
A lot of golden ages are like that.
Yeah.
So, we got a minute left. Josh, what do you want to leave the audience with? Anything?
Probably same thing I say every month. Keep your record straight.
Okay, and call the crypto tax man.
And if you don't, if you're like me, you got a total cluster, call the tax man.
All right. Well, Josh, thank you. I mean, you have made my tax season the happiest tax season in my memory. And that's a lot of memory.
Happy to hear that.
So, Josh, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. I think we got him set up to come the fourth Monday of every month.
Right.
So we could just plan on it. And so... Did you look at some of the stuff online there?
I was just kind of looking at some of the stuff, as we're going through it. You know, I like to Google it and that. My taxes are a mess.
I remember first time trading, of course not cryptocurrency, but just trading what would seem to me then like a lot of stock trades, a lot of option trades, back in 96s or 7. And it was so tedious to gather all those confirmations you'd get in the postal service in the U.S. mail to come to you. Not like I was, I don't even think Excel had.
No.
I mean, there were spreadsheet programs, but I certainly didn't know how to use them back then. And, trying to do that. And now, when you actually see how many trades, I bet even you would be surprised at how many trades would show up.
I don't trade it. Well, prior to 2018, I did a lot of day trading, but, not so much now. Not so much now.
All right.
So much, life's so much easier when you're not sitting at a computer all day looking at 10-cent moves.
Yeah. Or bigger.
Or big. Well, when you throw around 1,000 shares, you're looking for a 10-cent move. 10-20-cent move, you're out. And then if it goes the other way, you're like, that stress is,
Well, you're beyond that because now you're a co-founder of GreenBridgeInvesting.com. Check that out. Both podcasts, Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, you can find them there. Fully functional. And the Henry Rain Show is fully functional, too. And that's always couldn't be said about the Henry Rain Show.
We may not be functional, but the radio shows are functional.
Yes. Fully dysfunctional individually, but... podcast-wise, fully functional. And we'll be back next Monday with another show.